So friends, I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of waiting. And some of you just there, as I was messing around with the voice recorder, thought to yourself, could he just not get on with it this week? Does he really need to record it every week? We want to hear the word. But I don't like waiting much. One of the reasons why I was excited to come to St. Andrews in Coburg was I thought I can get out of the GTA and I can slow things down a little bit. I can maybe learn how to wait. I can learn some patience. You see, I'm sure that there's a virtue to be found in patience. I just haven't discovered it yet. I mean, waiting can be at times, it can be painful, it can be agonizing even, depending on what we are waiting for. I don't know about you, but I've taken a few flights on airplanes in my time, and I think that waiting for the boarding call is perhaps one of the most boring experiences that I've ever been through. Because what's worse is once you actually get to go in and sit down on the plane and you're seated, it seems like you again have to wait forever until the plane is ready for takeoff. And when I'm heading out on a trip, I just want to get there. There's a sense of adventure and anticipation, especially when I'm flying, traveling by air. I just want to get there. I'm different in a car. But I don't like to wait. Granted, I do need to confess that the wait to board the plane is nothing compared to the wait that you endure when you come back through customs. But waiting. We don't like to wait. In fact, if I waited in my office and started the service 5 minutes late, you would all be looking at your watches, wondering if everything was okay with the pastor, wondering why I wasn't out here, wondering who the first person to be would be to get up and go get me and tell me that, Pastor Neil, let's get the show on the road already. There might even be a few of you right now who are waiting for me to get to the point. Can be agonizing, can't it? Waiting. That wasn't even a minute. People who are listening online are going to wonder what happened to the sermon. But waiting. It seems that life is composed of many moments when we are forced to wait. When I was in the army, we called it hurry up and wait. And so whether it's at the airport, a stoplight, waiting for news from your doctor, or for a loved one to come out of surgery, we are forced to wait. Often to endure that wait with patience we don't have, and often in silence. And perhaps one of the most difficult aspects of waiting is that sometimes we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the wait. We're waiting to board a plane. Who will we sit beside? Will our doctor have good news? Will the surgery be successful? We know what we would like to have happen, but it does not always work out that way. As I look at our story from Exodus this morning, I wonder if Moses was waiting for anything to happen. If Moses knew that God would call upon him, and if he was just waiting for the day when it would finally happen. John Calvin, the famous reformer, he thinks that that was the case, that Moses was waiting in anticipation for the day that God called him. For myself, I'm not so sure. Now, reading from Exodus this morning certainly does not indicate that Moses was waiting for anything. In fact, I think it says the opposite. I think it says that Moses was just busy going about his day, taking care of business. The business of tending sheep. I mean, probably he was spending that time cursing the day he picked up that dagger and struck the Egyptian slave master, forcing him to flee his life of comfort and ease. Sound about right? There's Moses, tending sheep and waiting for nothing in particular to happen. For the foreseeable future, Moses' life is right in front of him, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, day in, day out. Moses was doing what was required of him for his family. I really don't think that Moses was waiting for God to call on him. And of course, then it happened, didn't it? Now, God called on Moses, and God wasn't subtle about it, was he? God used nothing less than a burning bush to communicate his call to Moses. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but are there a few burning bushes around this building? Who would know that? Any burning bushes around St. Andrews? I used to have one at my old house. I thought a good Presbyterian was rebuilding that garden. I should have a burning bush. But let's just say one of those bushes outside were to burst into flame. I'm not sure what I'd do. I mean, I know what I should do. But let's be honest, when God calls you out in that way, it's, I don't know, intimidating, scary. God calls to Moses out of the burning bush. And in doing so, God lays at Moses' feet the mission that Moses is to accomplish. It is time to bring God's people home from Egypt. And what does Moses say? Moses says, "Who am I?" The translation I was working with said, "Who am I?" I think this morning we read Moses saying, Moses says, there I am. Gotta find that. Goes in, and the good news, it says, "I am nobody." NRSV says, "Who am I?" I've asked that question too. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm just an average guy. Who am I to live out this calling? Who am I to teach God's word? Sometimes I ask that question out of humility for the responsibility I've been called to. Most of the time I ask that question out of disbelief. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we that we can live out God's promise for creation? I think, friends, that we echo this question of Moses. Generations later, we have that same lament as Moses. Who are we to go out into the world? To challenge authorities? To make change? To make a difference? Who are we? We ask this question looking to be affirmed by God in the task that God has called us to, hoping to hear kind words surrounding our gifts, our talents, natural abilities, and our aptitudes. We long to be praised and affirmed in our calling. And while I was studying at Knox College, at the end of one of our classes, we would provide two gifts and one growing edge for a member of the class. We live in a culture that seeks praise. However, you will find none of that in our passage this morning. God does not respond to Moses by telling Moses how gifted and how good he is, or by saying that the time spent in Pharaoh's court would assist him in going back to Egypt. God says none of these things. What does God say to Moses? God says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And the sign to prove that this is true is that one day you and the Israelites will worship here in this very spot. In other words, you're going to get the affirmation and the proof after you go and do what I've asked you to do. So as promises and assurances go, that's not really much, is it? I will be with you. It really isn't much more than a wing and a prayer. And yet, it is enough for Moses. Armed with the knowledge that God will be with him, armed with the name of God, I am who I am, Moses heads back to Egypt. And now Moses begins a new type of waiting. As he journeys towards Egypt, he needs to await how the Israelites will receive him. He has to wait and see how Pharaoh will receive him. And we don't like to wait. It makes us uncomfortable because we do not know what is at the end of that period of waiting. Because there is a sense of expectation to waiting. If we are waiting for something, then it assumes that we do believe that something is going to happen. So, friends, the question I have for you this morning is this: are you waiting with expectation for God's call on your life? And if you are waiting for that call, what do you anticipate that God is going to say to you? I once preached at a church where they put the sermon title on the sign outside of the church along with the preacher's name. And if you read the sign that day, you would have read the following: "And God answered Neil Ellis." It's just the way it went up. I posted that picture on the sign on Facebook, and a former minister asked me what God said to me. "Not what I expected," was my reply. Friends, when we wait for news, when we wait on God, eventually the period of waiting will end. And what I have found with God is that the reply, the answer to my patience, is never really been what I expected. And with God, I don't think it ever really is, because we are simply unable to see or understand God's plans and designs for our lives and for all of creation. And we just don't see it because most of the time, we're like Moses. We're too busy just getting on with our lives. We don't really wait on God with a sense of expectation. So friends, I want to invite you today on a journey. A journey that we will all go on together. A journey that will find ourselves waiting for God. Waiting with keen anticipation for God's call on our lives. And as we wait for God's call, I would invite you to actively pray for how God might use you and this community of faith for God's purposes. Friends, are you willing to trust that God will be with you? That when God's call on your life comes, that God will be with you? That will be enough? For Moses, it was enough that God called him. That God said, I will be with you. And I pray that it is enough for us as well. Amen.